A paper by Dr. Sean Rosenberg speaks to the issue of how the human brain reacts to self-rule. His principal conclusion is that self-rule, democracy, is in danger because citizens are not developing a critical understanding of the issues and lack the ability or are too lazy to expend the necessary energy and time to analyze the issues. He feels that this could be a death knell for democracy. Justice Gorsuch has also recently taken a similar view to Professor Sean Rosenberg's. In a recent interview, he indicated that he had concerns about the engagement of the American public on an intellectual level in the democratic process. Of interest to me was his statements that we all had to be prepared to listen to the other side and to stop listening to only those who agreed with us. He seems to enjoy the raucous nature of politics. He also stresses that this requires work and sacrifice, not just in the military sense, but rather in time, energy, and commitment to studying and understanding the issues, comprehending your opponent's position, and then seeking to come to the best resolution. I'm not sure he actually practices the latter, as he seems to have certitude in his opinions. China has reduced the reserve requirement of its banks in the amount of $126 billion. This, of course, frees up those institutions to make loans and presumably to make loans at relatively low interest rates. Clearly, this is an effort to spur their economy and looks a little bit like TARP in 2008-2009. China is clearly taking every step possible to offset the impact of the tariffs imposed by the Trump administration by growing their internal consumption and decreasing costs to business for capital, which would have the effect of decreasing the cost of production overall, and thus prices when goods are sold to the U.S. An interesting strategy. And what will the Trump administration's response be? China announced late in the week that it would reduce or eliminate tariffs on certain goods, but it did not reduce them on pork nor soybeans. Obviously, the Chinese want to keep the pressure up in one of POTUS's political strongholds. Immediately after this move, POTUS announced a delay in his recently announced tariff hikes until October 15th. President Trump was successful in North Carolina in getting Mr. Bishop elected by 2 percentage points. It's very clear that Mr. Trump's rally the night before had a significant impact on the outcome, and POTUS is taking all the appropriate bows. On a happy note, a heartwarming video appeared on the internet this week with an African-American toddler and a white toddler running to one another joyously, yelling, screaming. It showed them subsequently dancing together, snacking together, and playing together. You get the point. It's together, and both of them are colorblind, which is what we all should be. Scientists have found a substantial number of Neanderthal footprints in Normandy, France, including those of children, teenagers, and young adults, along with some adults. This discovery was made in Normandy and appears to capture these human footprints from 80,000 years ago, which is a period when Neanderthals were the only humankind in Western Europe. Then, of course, we have the ongoing saga of the altered weather map. It seems to me that although Mr. Trump did not keep up with trends of Hurricane Dorian, he at least had a basis for his commentary about the potential to hit Alabama. It would have been much more presidential had he simply said, "I received some early reports that indicate that Alabama might be hit, and I'm delighted that they weren't," and he left it at that. Instead, he turned it into a multiple-day story that makes him look incredibly foolish and petty, and unfortunately, the media looks equally as silly. In the Wall Street Journal letters to the editor, a writer commented on a proposal to issue long-term debt, that is 50 to 100 years until maturity, for the purpose of paying down our debt. The author of the letter took the position that essentially allowing inflation to eat up the debt was a better solution, which from a practical perspective may make sense. Nonetheless, the debt would remain on the books, while the long-term payoff of the debt would over time eliminate it. It took us 50 years to pay off the debt from World War II, so a 50 or 100-year bond doesn't seem implausible to me. I would note I introduced a bill when I was in Congress to issue 50-year Treasury notes for the purpose of paying the debt down. However, the legislation contained conditions, including a requirement for balanced budgets going forward, giving those who purchased the debt the opportunity to demand full repayment should Congress and the President fail to adhere to balanced budgets. We clearly need some ideas to help solve this problem. Mark Sanford announced his potential candidacy for president, and Republicans quickly closed ranks by attempting to shut down primaries in several more states. This raises a whole host of interesting issues for the Republican Party, including transparency, its ability to sell itself as a populist entity when it restricts primaries, etc. Of course, the real question is, can Mr. Sanford or Mr. Walsh gather sufficient traction to have any impact on the process? I think not. By the way, I know both of these gentlemen, Mr. Walsh better than Mr. Sanford, and my view is not intended to cast aspersions on them, but simply facing reality. On Tuesday, September 10th, John Bolton quit or was fired. I assume it depends on who hit send on the tweet first. The number of departures from the administration continues to mount, and even some as out of the mainstream as John Bolton was unable to maintain his position in the administration. It sounds as if it came about because he imposed a rational analysis on one or more national security issues.